And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." Recently, in our Sunday morning Bible class, as we've been focusing on why we do what we do, the question has arisen, why do we have the appointed readings that we do? Especially this time of year, we have so many weeks of Judgment Day. For the past weeks, even before Advent started, our focus has been on Christ coming, returning, and the first heaven and first earth being destroyed, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And that ultimately is the goal. That is the end of the story that we tell each year as we move through the church year calendar. But we did that through most of November. We started Advent. We read the appointed lessons for today, the second Sunday of Advent. Still no Christmas stories. Do you know why? Because this is Advent. It's a different season. This is a time to hear the prophet Malachi say, "Who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears?" Now, Malachi also references the coming of John the Baptist, the messenger who will prepare the way of the Lord. We do get an anticipation for the celebration of that blessed event. However, as the organizers of the weekly readings of the church year that we call the lectionary, as they have repeatedly demonstrated, this time of year is a time for you to prepare yourself to see Christ face to face. All of the world around us tells us that this is a time of year for community events, family gatherings, flashing lights, shiny decorations, and having a holly jolly Christmas. But the message of Malachi and John the Baptist need to be heard. Now, I'm not going to address you like John and say, "You brood of vipers." Wow, I should do that sometime, you know. That'd be a good start to a sermon. There is a time to preach with boldness in that way. And his crowd needed to hear those words. But I don't address you that way today, because you are the children of God who possess the faith of Abraham. And as Scripture says, like Abraham, your faith is credited to you as righteousness. Now, as we look at this Advent season, there is nothing wrong with having community events, family gatherings, Christmas parties, flashing lights, shiny decorations, having a holly jolly Christmas. You know, I am a big fan of celebrating Christmas. I love this time of year. But we also are reminded that it is not yet Christmas. And the flashing light that best fits the theme of Advent is the flashing light of the refiner's fire that purifies the children of God as gold or silver is purified, as Malachi says. That's not a very holly jolly image, but that is the image of Advent. That is the image of John the Baptist, the call to repentance. Repent and be baptized. Flee from the wrath to come, he says. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. John says, every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John, the Advent prophet, did not come with a holly jolly message. However, the message of Advent, being prepared for the end of the world, it is a message that does bring joy. And as we prepare for Christ to come, for the world to end, I don't know how much I can emphasize, you know, this has nothing to do with stuff like the Mayan calendar nonsense. You know, don't be afraid of next week or whenever it is that the calendar runs out. As I said a couple weeks ago, preparing for Christ to come on the last day, it has nothing to do with us figuring out how the world is going to be destroyed. It has nothing to do with acquiring enough canned goods to be ready. I mean, really, if the world is going to be destroyed, what is the point? You can't have enough canned goods to survive Christ coming. Being prepared for Christ to come, it happens on a personal level, and it happens here. John's message of repentance is personal. Preparing for Christ to come is a message for you. In our gospel reading, we hear the crowd ask John, "Well, then what shall we do?" And he answers them with very specific actions for the tax collectors and very specific actions for the soldiers. He tells all of them that if you have an extra tunic, to share it with someone who does not have one. Likewise with food. It's like what we saw with that New York City police officer you may have seen in the news, who gave boots to a homeless man who had no shoes on. That was an act in the spirit of being prepared for Christ to come. Unfortunately, the follow-up to the story was not good. As you probably heard, the homeless man did something with the boots other than wear them. And the ungrateful manner with which he responded to this act of kindness has been shameful. However, his response does not diminish the Christ-like action of the police officer. When we give to others, we cannot control what they do with the gift. All that we can control is our side of the equation. Preparing your heart for Christ to come is what you are called to do. Your job is to be prepared. Your job is not to fix all of the ills of our greater society. Your job is for you to be prepared and to bear good fruit. It is a time to repent. It is a time to forgive. It is a time to fix broken relationships. It is a time to look to Christ and see what He has already done. Because you have already been led to repentance. You have been washed clean and forgiven by God Himself. Christ has already come and fixed your broken relationship with God your Father and Creator. The call to repentance, it is something that is personal. It is about you. You are a child of God with the faith of Abraham. Your faith has been credited to you as righteousness, so that you stand holy and righteous before God Himself. in response to this new reality, you are the tree that must bear good fruit. That is how you prepare for the coming of Christ. You cannot control what others do around you. You cannot control how others react to your words or actions. You cannot control what others do with that good fruit that you bear. What John the Baptist said to the tax collectors and the soldiers and the crowd gathered around him, it was instruction on what a life of repentance and faith was meant to be. That's how you are to be. Whether those around you are grateful or ungrateful, be purified and bear good fruit. Being refined by fire, it's not a holly jolly image. However, that is what we are called to be. And that is what we have gone through. Being led to repentance as a faithful child of God, it is something that can cause even frustration when we see those around us not following through on what our words or actions we know should inspire. But being led to repentance and being a faithful child of God, it may not always be a holly jolly image, but it is holy and joyous. In Christ, you have been set apart. In Christ, you are different and unique in the midst of this ungrateful, sinful world. Remain set apart from the world around you and be prepared, because as we are reminded again and again during this season, Christ is coming. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.